Genesis chapter number 22. I preach from this passage a myriad of times through the years. Probably one of the most familiar passages in the Old Testament, where God comes to Abraham and tells him to go up to Mount Moriah and offer that promised seed, that promised son, promised successor, as a living sacrifice. And you know the story, how Abraham just took God at his word, believed God, obeyed God, and went to the top of that mountain. But you know what happened before he could lay the knife? The angel of the Lord intervened. And God said, "Son, I got a provision. I got a ram caught in the thicket by the horns." And the Bible said that Abraham offered the ram in the stead of his son. And God stepped out of heaven and said, "Here's a new name, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide." And we preached through that. We preached around that. But all this week, the Lord said, "You got to read further." And I don't know about you, but I get to a big point in the Bible, I just close my Bible and shout. And how many times we miss it if we don't read a little further. So I want us to read a little further. Bear with me. I'm going somewhere. Genesis chapter 22. And this is what we discover when we read further. Look in verse number 15. "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven." And I love this. Say it with me. The second time. God was not finished in what he was doing. He had more that he wanted to show. He had more that he wanted to say. And he had more than he wanted to do. He came out of heaven the second time. "And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." Verse 18 is the text. Here's why God wanted me to read further. Look in verse 18. "And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Did I not tell you God was not finished? Did I not tell you that God wanted to do more? You said he did something in Isaac. He did something in Abraham. You better believe it. But God is going to do something that the whole entire world is going to be blessed by. And notice what he said. "And thy seed shall all of the nations of the earth be blessed." Say it out loud with me now. "Because thou hast obeyed my voice." Because one man completely obeyed God. God said, because of that one simple act of obedience, I am going to bless the world. And we've been preaching through the alphabet on much more in 24. And we got to that O word and we preached on overcoming. And I'm still trying to be an overcomer every day of my life. And I was going to move to the next letter, but I couldn't get away from this other powerful O word in the Bible. It's the word obedience. I believe it is the secret to the Christian life. It seems like every day somebody's writing a manual on how to live the successful Christian life. And ladies and gentlemen, I can give you one word that will unleash the anointing of God in your life like a mighty river. And it's the word obedience. In fact, that's why you're saved today, because you obeyed the spoken word of God. Jesus said, call unto me. You did. Jesus said, believe on me. And you did. Jesus said, come unto me. And you did. Jesus said, look unto me. And you did. And because of that one simple act of obedience, you are saved from the fires of hell. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, lives in your heart over that one act of simple obedience. Well, how many will agree with me if that's true in getting saved? Then that's got to be true in the Christian life. A simple act of obedience will bring the touch and the anointing and the blessings of God in our life. And I've studied this book the best I know how. And ladies and gentlemen, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, all through this Bible, the difference between failure and success was obedience. The difference between victory and defeat was obedience. The difference between winning God's smile and earning God's frown was obedience. The difference between sadness and joy and gladness and terror and horror and peace was one word, obedience. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible that said that obedience is better than sacrifice. Everybody doesn't have the talent to be a singer. Everybody doesn't have the talent to be or the calling to be a public speaker. Everybody is not financially blessed enough to give $1 million to the cause of Christ. But there is not one soul in this building this morning, too young, too old, too rich, too poor, too wise, too uneducated, that you do not have the ability to obey God. Somebody may preach better than me, but they can't obey God better than me. Somebody may be able to sing better than somebody else, but nobody can obey God better than they can. Somebody may outserve me. They may outgive me. They may outlove me, but they cannot out-obey me. I believe today if we're going to have revival and a closer walk with God, we must pray for God to give us the spirit and the courage to obey and follow God and just simply do what He's asked us to do. I loved raising my two children. I love the difference between the two. Not just the fact that they was one a boy and one was a girl, but they were mentally, they were emotionally, they were vast different in their makeup. I could have one that I could just snap my fingers, clear my throat, and whatever they were doing, they stopped dead in their tracks. And the fear of God came upon them in a mighty way. And I had another one. That's why we never had another one. That you could argue and fuss and discuss and rant and rave and was like pouring water off of a duck's back. And then one day when I saw that person's mother throw all their belongings in the floor and say, if you can do better than me, have at it. And I looked at my other child and I said, boy, I said, we better get out of here and go fishing. But that little boy of mine grew up to be a man. I wish Julie could come down here and help me preach this. We would ask Joseph, or Joseph's friends would ask him, Joseph, what is the secret to a happy life? You remember that, Julie? What is the secret to a happy life? And little old Bubba would say, well, I've just learned along the way, life is a whole lot simpler if you just do what you're told. And he turned out to be a preacher. You say, what happened to the other one that did not have that philosophy? She's a lawyer. born to argue, born to rebel. But I got to thinking this morning about little Bubba's philosophy. Life is a whole lot simpler if you'll just do what you're told. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the secret of the Christian life is just having that childlike faith. Just do what God tells you to do. I love Genesis 22 because it is loaded with what I call first mentions. There are several wonderful words in the Bible that occur hundreds of times that are mentioned for the very first time in Genesis 22. For instance, the first time you read the word love, it's in Genesis 22. A picture of Calvary where Christ dies for your sins and mine. What a manifestation of love. The first time you read the word worship in the Bible is in Genesis 22. Abraham and Isaac are not going to sacrifice. They're going to worship. And until you're really willing to lay it all on God's altar, you'll never really worship Him in the worship that He deserves. And I found another first in this passage. The word obedience. The word obedience is mentioned for the very first time in the Bible in Genesis 22. And remember, when you study the law of first mention, whenever it's mentioned for the first time in the Bible, it's huge, it's big. God is setting the stage of certain characteristics of that word that will follow it all through the Scripture. You know why God was pleased in this text? Because Abraham obeyed God. The reason why they saw the mighty hand of God, because they obeyed God. The reason why this event goes down in the annals of history as the greatest example of following God and living for God is because that one man obeyed God. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like the nation of Israel or not, every one of us ought to get on our knees and thank God that that little spot on planet Earth gave us our Bible, gave us our Savior, and gave us our Mosaic Law. God has blessed the world through salvation, through God's Son, Jesus Christ, God's greater Isaac, our heavenly Abraham, because of one man's simple act of obedience. I was reading through the Romans Road, God's simple plan of salvation. And I came to that Romans chapter number 5, and I was ready to quote that verse in verse 8. That God hath commended His love toward us by sending Jesus, His Son, to die for us. But before I got to that, I saw these verses. It says, by one man's offense, many are made guilty. Talking about Adam in the garden. By one man's offense, many have been found guilty. But then I found this little phrase. By one man's obedience. By one man's obedience, many have been justified. Because Abraham obeyed God in this text, and Jesus obeyed God at Calvary, the world today can enjoy salvation through the sacrifice of Christ because one man's obedience. I believe this morning, children, that our towns, our cities, our nation, our villages, the world has yet to see what God can do with a group of people that's been born of the Spirit and washed in the blood and they're filled with the Word of God and they're living a life of obedience. You ain't seen nothing yet what God will do in your life if you'll give Him the keys and simply obey and live a life of obedience. It seems like the entire life of Abraham, his whole life hinges on obedience. When God found him by the seashore and said, son, you got to leave your idol-making daddy. You got to leave your idol-making brother. You got to leave the land of your heathenism and turn to the living and true God and follow me. Abraham had no idea what path he was taking, but he's simply going to obey God. I'll tell you where that path finally led him, in Hebrews chapter number 11, in God's hall of fame of faith. And may I say to every young person under the sound of my voice this morning, do not be afraid to follow the will of God. Do not be afraid to follow the unseen path, because you remember this, fear not tomorrow. God is already there. The path was unseen, but he obeyed and went. Then that was a promise that was unbelievable. You say, what do you mean by that? He's 100 years old, and his wife is 90 years old. Mary, she was 90 years old. And man, the angel came and said, I wish David was here, he would enjoy this. He said, honey, you're going to have a baby. Abraham, you are going to have a son, you and Sarah. And brother, if it wasn't for Romans chapter number 4, where it said he staggered not at the promise of God. Can I ask a question this morning? How many people in this room are a lot younger than 194 and you would stagger? In fact, you would do more than stagger, you would die. If the angel came down, can you imagine Brother Shane getting up one day, our precious brother, and saying, come this Sunday afternoon, Kathy and Earl is going to have a shower. Earl said that would be amazing. Wouldn't you love that to happen to Barry and Lily? Wouldn't you just love to see it? How many of you think something like that ought to happen to the other fellow? To the other family? Man, he is 100 and she is 90. The promise is unseen. Who had ever heard of that? But he obeyed God and he staggered not at the promises of God. And then 9 months later, he's in the door of the tent holding a bundle of joy. A little boy that made him so happy. They called him Laffy. Laughing, happy. His name is Isaac, because he obeyed God and he staggered not at the promise of God. Because the path was unseen, the promise was unbelievable. And here in our text today, the plan could not be understood. The plan could not be understood. What God is leading, what God is calling, what God is asking Abraham to do cannot be understood through the eye of faith. They have waited so long. All of the seeds of the nation are going to be blessed in this young man by the name of Isaac. And now God said, I want you to go to that mountain. I want you to bind him there. I want you to give him to me. More, notice how the Lord worded this to Isaac. He said, I don't want something you don't like. I don't want something that don't mean anything to you. I want your only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Brother, that is unexplainable. How can all the nations of the earth be blessed in this young man, Gus, if he's dead? How can all the nations of the earth be blessed if that young man's blood is running down an altar down the side of Moriah? But what Abraham doesn't realize, God has already went before. God is already working behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. Can I just tell you this morning how sovereign my God is? He works in the past and he works in the present and he works in the future. He's God where you've been, he's God where you're at, and he's God where you have never set your foot. And you remember this, if God's leading you and God's prodding you and God's calling you, he's on the other end of the line making preparations before you ever get there. And he's going to obey. And he's going to wave the white flag of surrender. It reminds me of my old preacher buddy in the mountains, Wade Huntley, waving the white flag of surrender. Most of us who read our Bibles, most of us who go to church, most of us who are led by the Spirit, most of us who have a relationship with God, we know what we're supposed to do. I'm not praying for God to give me light and show me what I'm supposed to do. I am praying for God, Larry, to give me grace and mercy and courage to simply obey and do what He wants me to do. And the title of my message today is Obeying When You Don't Understand. Obeying when you don't understand. Back to my childhood days. That was one word I learned as a young boy. I could spell it. I could pronounce it. I could write it in 15 million languages. And it's the little phrase, why? I've always been somebody that I want to know the details. I could not be a politician. I'm too honest. I ain't voting on something that I know what's in the bill. I gotta have the information. I wanna know. Because in my human ingenuity, I want plan A, I want plan B, I want plan C, I want plan Z, in case plan A don't work. But God has had a hard time with this old preacher, taking me out of my normal physical, fleshly intentions. Because God don't always tell you the details up front. He don't always explain everything up front. But somehow if we can just have enough faith in Him that He's going to work out the details, He's going to provide the needs, He'll be there before we get there. If we'll just obey God, that settles it. You do your part. God has already done His part. And because of this one man obeying God, three wonderful things happened. When he obeyed, when he didn't understand in the text, three things happened. Number one, Isaac's faith was fortified. Let me ask you this. Can you imagine hearing that story your whole life? Hey, son, your mama was 90. Your daddy was 100. You are a miracle child. You normally shouldn't be here. It's a physical miracle that you're here. Now, because he did not experience that, old enough to remember that, it probably doesn't mean anything to him. Well, that's what the forefather said. That's what Papa said. That's what Daddy said. But let me ask you this question. He is bound to that altar by ropes. Fire is leaping around him. And a man that he well knows ain't gonna hold nothing back from God is standing over him with a knife. Brother, I'm telling you, I would have been afraid. I would have been petrified. I'd have to have some Valium or something. And he's bound to this altar. Fire is leaping around him. Whose dad will never hold nothing back from God. He's got his hand in the air and is on his way down. But just in time, on time, like God does every time. The angel stayed his father's hand. And the angel stepped in. And the angel said, there's the ram. There's the provision. And he didn't die. He lived. He realized it is a miracle. It is an act of faith. I bet you he never doubted God again. I bet he never questioned God again when he came to a valley, when he came to a mountain, when he came to a problem. And everybody said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I did on that altar. I'm going to wait. I'm going to trust God. And if God came through one time, God will come through another time. Brother, his faith was fortified. You know, I grew up in a preacher's home. a good one. I grew up in a good Bible preaching church. A good one. And I had heard of the Red Seas. I had heard of the brazen serpent. I had heard that God provides. My grandma told me. My grandpa told me. My daddy preached it. And my little Pentecostal mama, she shouted it. And them Sunday school teachers taught it. But up to that point, all I had was information. But oh dear God, one day I found myself bound and burning and on the edge of defeat, wondering, God, what are you going to do? Then out of nowhere, the sovereign, holy, omnipotent, righteous God intervenes, supplies the need, lowers the mountain, exalts the valley, and lifts the burden. And the next time you're afraid, and the next time you have a need, and the next time you're bewildered, you look back and say, if God did that one time, He can do it another time. If God's ever been faithful, God is still faithful. Aren't you glad through obedience your faith is fortified? Number two, right here in the text, Isaac's faith was fortified, but I love this, Abraham's testimony was solidified. It was solidified. Abraham's testimony was made firm and genuine, and nobody could ever cast a doubt on whether Abraham is real or not. Can I say this? That affliction in your life, that thorn in my life, that disappointment, that hurt, that setback, whatever adjective you want to put on it in your life and in my life, I don't like it, I don't want it, I didn't ask for it. But have you ever thought a sovereign God may allow that to solidify your testimony to a lost and a dying world? Now, I'll be honest with you. I got respect for Abraham when he leaves the land of his nativity. When he walks away from houses and land and families and starts out of desert looking for that city. That was enough to persuade me. A man that could wait 90 some years to fulfill the promise of God. That is enough. But ladies and gentlemen, there's people in your life, people in your world, it will never be enough to convince them that God is real. But you can't never tell one day the big test may come, and the granddaddy test may come, and the deepest valley, and the deepest hurt, and the deepest disappointment. It just may come unexplainable and unexpected. And if I'll just do right, keep my mouth shut and keep my heart toward the Lord and walk in obedience when I don't understand. Honey, when it's all said and done, they won't ask, I wonder if he's real. I wonder if he's real. I wonder if that shout's real. I wonder if that testimony is real. I wonder if that old boy's really who he says he is. I wonder if that little old lady is who she says she is. And standing somewhere in the shadows is a sovereign God saying, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. They are real. My word is real to them. My spirit is real to them. My blessings are real to them. His testimony was solidified. It was authoritative. Never a doubt in your mind. Abraham's the real deal. I got to hurry. But that's what I loved about my mama. That's what I loved about my She was real. She was real. She shouted when it was good. She shouted when it was bad. She shouted when people joined Daddy's church, and she shouted when they left Daddy's church. That ain't no understatement. Boy, she shouted when Daddy was on the mountain. And she'd shout when Daddy was in the valley. When Daddy was the pastor making a comfortable salary and had all the benefits, she shouted. And when he got to retire with no place to live, hardly no money in the bank. Give it all to God. Lived on meager affair. And if it wasn't for the auspices of this church, they wouldn't have had a roof over their head for 10 years. She shouted anyway. For almost 10 years, she sat in the building and then this one and shouted. Poor as Job's turkey. By the way, I don't know how poor that is, but it's poor. Shouted anyway. Daddy died and went to be with the Lord, and she shouted and still loved the Lord. And even when she got that cancer and starved to death in a world of plenty, still struggling with that. Starved to death in a world of plenty. I went in there one Sunday morning. You guys were so gracious to let me spend all the time I needed with my mama. But I went in there that morning and she was watching the live stream. Michelle Cannon was singing about the God being on time. And I wasn't there that day, so Shane was. So he let her preach a little bit. No, she can preach any word she wants to. I love that old gal. I tell you, I love Michelle Cannon. She's got the power of God on her. And if we ever start ordaining preachers, she'll be the first one. And Miss Jones, you're going to be the second. Say amen right there. But oh, Michelle was a singing on time. Coming down the road, it's Jesus right on time. And I looked and that little bony hand was stuck up in the air. A month away from dying, starving to death in the world of plenty. Sick, knowing she's not going to get any better. But she's still in love with Jesus. She's still in love with the Holy Ghost. She's still holding to God's unchanging hand. I looked at my three sisters and we're all shaking our head like, what's this? What's this? And I spoke up and said, that's real. That's authentic. That's reality. That's who she really is. And may God solidify our testimony today. And let our family know. And let our neighbors know. And let our children know. We're not fake. We're not phony. We're the genuine article of God. Hallelujah. For obedience. Here it is and I'm done. Isaac's faith was fortified. Abraham's testimony was solidified. Oh, but God's name was glorified. Abraham, don't understand. And I want to say, Abraham, I've read had ends, and God's just magnifying his name, son. God's just magnifying his name. Matt, God's just magnified his name. You got a mountain you can't climb? God's just magnifying his name. Got stuff we don't know why? God's just magnifying his name. Who but God could have stepped in this text? Who but God could have stepped in this text? Lord, have mercy. Somebody bring me some Gatorades. I need some electrolytes. Oh, can you just see what's happening in this text? Abraham and Isaac is going up that mountain, a 3-day journey. All they can see is dirt watts and rocks and trees going up that mountain. They don't know that on the other side of that mountain, there's a little ram that's got caught in its thicket by its horns. They can't see the ram, and the ram can't see them, but from where God sits, he sees both sides of the real estate. And he's got the prayer in one hand and the answer in the other hand. He's got the need in one hand and the provision in the other hand. He's got weeping in one hand and joy in the other hand. And he's going to bring them to the top of the hill and step out on nothing and say, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord that will see to it. He's magnifying his name. And if we'll just obey the Lord today, somebody's faith can get fortified. Your testimony can get solidified. and your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can be glorified. I believe the songwriter said it best. There's only one way to be happy in Jesus, and that is to trust and obey. All God wants out of every one of us today is obedience. After dying for us on Calvary, don't you think He deserves that? Let's stand all over the building.